Thank you, Pete. Thank you, Andy and team. Do you know what? Jesus, God, didn't commission a show. He didn't say, go and I'll work through buildings or infrastructure or finance or whatever. He works through family. The church is family. The church is his presence. The church are his people. So I don't care, we've probably gone over time, but actually, this is an opportunity to worship God and give him thanks for people. Yeah, and we give him glory. What a people. I'm so glad that he works through a people. Is that good? Is that good news? It is good news. It's fantastic. Fantastic. Amen. Amen. And I praise the Lord that Pete's developing a northern accent. I love it. I love it. So you're going to have to cast your minds back. We've been working through Luke for the last kind of, I think, 6 months, haven't we, really, working through Luke intermittently, and we've talked all sorts through it, and as always, I'm going to just refresh your memory, yeah, very quickly, very, very quickly, yeah, so where was Jesus, what was he doing in Luke? We're in chapter 7, he was in Capernaum. Anybody remember what Capernaum means? See, they don't listen. They don't. So, Kappa means village. Nahum is a prophet. It was the village of Nahum. And Jesus was doing incredible miracles. He was healing the sick. There's a story. He was casting out demons. He was ripping it up in Capernaum. He was doing all sorts of stuff. The kingdom of God was moving in this place. And the centurion hears about him, who was a very posh army officer, says, oh, my servant is sick. And he has a big view of who God is, who Jesus is, and he asks him to heal his servant in faith. He had a big view of the sovereignty and the power of Jesus. How big is your view of Jesus? Came with faith. Do you know what? Jesus handed over to Jesus. This week it's been quite stressful, in fairness. So I nearly, in love, punched somebody. I wanted to in my head, but it was a solicitor, so it wasn't a good idea. But actually, Jesus, whatever situation is happening in your life, Jesus has got it. Do you have a big view of God like the centurion had? And then all this happens. There's a crowd following. It's huge. There's a massive party. Imagine the Brexit kind of riots that there were in Manchester. Thousands upon thousands of people. And they travel to a village called Nain. Who could tell me about Nain? See, you weren't listening. Never mind. Joking. So Nain sat under a mount called Tabor. And at Tabor, Deborah fought a battle. Yeah, somebody got a very bad headache in that story in the book of Judges. And also what happened, it's where the transfiguration happened. So it's where Jesus really exhibited his glory. So it's a lot was happening in Nain. And this crowd that was excited was travelling with Jesus to Nain, and they bump into another crowd. There's one crowd excited, joyful, what is Jesus going to do? And there's another crowd that is sorrowful following a funeral. A sad situation, a widow, bereaved, lonely, destitute. Jesus has the audacity to tell her not to cry. Why? Because he's the only one that can tell her not to cry. Because he has the power to tell her not to cry. And he goes over to her son, he touches him, takes on, he would have made himself unclean, Jesus. Yeah? Takes on the dirt. He's dirty. Just like Jesus takes on our dirt on the cross. And he says, young man, he says, I tell you, get up. And he does. Do you know what? The words of Jesus bring life. God is the only one that can bring life. Jesus is the only one who can bring hope into hopeless situations. How many hopeless situations have there been this week? in your life?
Too many.
Too many. Yeah? Do you know what? Jesus has the answer to those hopeless situations. Does he do it because of this widow's faith? Nope. He does it because our God, Jesus has compassion. His heart overflowed with compassion. And at the end of the story is he gave the son back to his mother. Isn't that beautiful? That's the God that you worship. And then John the Baptist asked, what's going on? What's happening? Oh, is the Messiah come? Because he's bizarrely unsure, John the Baptist. And he sends a question. He said, are you the Messiah that's been expected? And Jesus says, go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind see, the lame walk, those with leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised to life, and the good news is being preached to the poor. Is that good news?
Yes.
Why did this stuff happen around Jesus? It's because the kingdom of God was advancing.
Yes.
And the kingdom of Satan no longer permanently ruled and reigned. There was hope. There was healing. Is that good?
Yes.
Is that good?
Yes.
And it confirmed who Jesus was. Should this happen today? Yes. Because Jesus is here, his presence is here, his spirit is here. It's the same church. God is the same today, yesterday, and previously. Yeah? Should we see healings? Should we see miracles? Should we see the dead raised? Yes, because God, Jesus, is moving. I was reading Thessalonians. You know what? We preach the gospel. Paul said, I preach the gospel. He said, that declared the word of God. They looked at his life, the Thessalonians. Do we live like Jesus is God and he is Lord? That declares the gospel. And he also confirmed it with signs, wonders and miracles. The good news of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I want that. That sounds exciting. We need to pray more and more for miracles. Because Jesus is here. His kingdom is advancing. Do you believe it or do you look a little bit worried? It's true. Do you believe God's word? Yes. And a few weeks ago, Andy Parr talked about how Jesus was disrespected by Simon. It never struck me before how disrespected Jesus was. He was invited to a house and disrespected. He wasn't. His feet weren't washed. His head wasn't anointed. He wasn't greeted in the proper way. It's like Jesus coming to your house and not offering him a brew. Yeah? And being extremely rude to him, not shaking his hand. But worse, Simon's ambivalent to God, took him for granted. Yeah, like Simon the Pharisee, in his own strength, was good enough that he deserved the presence of God. Do you take Jesus for granted? Yeah? And then there's a sinful woman, broken-hearted, coming to Jesus, wiping his feet with her hair. She made an utter, utter mess of her life. In fact, she was a sinner. A sinner is a person who has given up following the law of Moses. Just give up. Your life's just that much out of control. You don't care anymore. And she smashed a beautiful vase of perfume over Jesus, and Jesus forgives her sins. And yes, there were many. And he says, her faith has brought her peace. What a beautiful story about God's grace. That's the God we worship.
Hallelujah.
It's the God we worship.
Yes, yes, thank you, Jesus.
And we're up to chapter 8. Sorry, I always go back. Yeah? Chapter 8. Are you excited to know what Jesus is going to do next? Do you know, when I get to the next chapter, I'm always excited. What is Jesus going to do next? This is fantastic. That's what he's... Oh, the stuff. So anyway, with chapter 8, if we pop it up, this is what happens. I was going to preach the whole chapter, but the first bit was so exciting that I stopped there. It was wonderful. So it says, soon after, Jesus began to tour of a nearby towns and villages, preaching and announcing the good news, the good news about the kingdom of God. That's what he did. Jesus continues on his tour around Galilee, the northern part of Israel, and he's preaching and announcing the good news of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is invading Israel, and the blind and the unwell are being healed, and the gospel is being preached, and people, all sorts happen. Is that not good news?
Yes.
And he's preaching it. And he's continuing to declare war. He opened war in chapter 3 by saying, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. That was his starting gambit. And he's going down and he's preaching this good news. He says, I'm here to proclaim the prisoners are free, can be free. And the recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. That's what he must have been saying. There was no hope before Jesus. And now Jesus comes and says all this stuff. The good news of the kingdom. There isn't very much good news, is there, today? Can anybody think of any good news this week in the news? There isn't. In fact, all I hear generally about is climate change, which is so important, but that's pretty bad news, isn't it? Really? Politics. Wonderful. I agree. But healing is good news, isn't it? It is healing. It's good news. Do you know, politics, I can't see a great deal of good news in politics at all. Yeah, do you know what? I want to say that I think the only ultimate good news that there is the gospel.
Yes.
That's the only ultimately good news.
Yes.
It is.
Yes, Lord.
If you're a follower of Christ, you're the only people that really have ultimately any good news to give. If you're an atheist, you don't believe in anything, there is no good news. There isn't. Because you have no purpose. You have no point to your life. There's no right or wrong. Good things in life are fleeting because you're going to die. And then you're going to drift into oblivion. You get old, you die. You might go to work, you might go on holiday a bit. It's not good news, is it? There is no good news. You might believe that there's a higher power. Yeah? You might believe in aliens. I'm always surprised how many people believe in it. But even if aliens do exist, that's not good news, is it? Who's been watching War of the Worlds? It's not good news. Yeah? You might believe in anything, you know, but actually, you don't know the God that you might worship hasn't spoken, so you don't know anything about him at all. It's bad news. There's no good news. You might believe in science and materialism and nice things and nice cars, but you can't take it with you, can you? Yeah? It's not good news. It's not good news. There is no good news there at all. If you're a Buddhist, I quite like Buddhists, but there's no good news. You work really hard through life meditating, and then you might become a cat, or you might become a king or something, but you don't remember anyway, or I don't think so, and eventually end up nirvana, but you don't remember. I don't think that's good news, is it? Reincarnation is not good news. There is no good news. Judaism is terrible news. You've been waiting for the Messiah, but you've missed him. It's terrible. Terrible news. Islam. God is present, he is real, but he's not interested in you. He's only interested in you slaving away for him, collecting brownie points, and then dependent on his mood when you die, you may or may not go to heaven. It's not good news, is it? It's not good news. Terrible news. Terrible, terrible, terrible news. Do you know what? Jesus is the only good news. Christianity is the only worldview that has any good news. Do you believe it? It does, it doesn't. So listen to this. We've sang it. Say, God, this God that we worship, so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus. Whoever believes in him will have eternal life. He gave. There's grace. There is no grace in any other religion or worldview. That is good news. It's good news. That God loves you, he's interested in you, he sacrificed himself for you. Listen, there's going to be, this world is messed up. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. There's going to be no more tears. Because our God, not Islamic God, not Buddhism God, not over God, not materialism, is going to wipe those tears. And there's going to be no more suffering, and there's going to be no more pain. Is that not good news? And do you know what? All the pain in your life that you've ever experienced, and the injustice, there is going to be justice. When people have done bad things against you, there's going to be justice. Is that not good news? There is no good news. There is no good news in the world outside of Jesus. Aren't we blessed? Aren't we blessed? I love the song. I am blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole, I am saved in Jesus' name, highly favoured, anointed, filled with power of Jesus. For the glory of Jesus' name. That's you guys. It's good news. It's what Jesus was announcing. I can never understand miserable Christians. Yeah, we're sad, yeah. Because bad things happen. Your life gets a little bit messy when you become a Christian and you follow Jesus. But actually, it's good news. It's good news. There is no other good news. That's what he was preaching. That's what was happening in this scripture. It's good. You know it, don't you? Fantastic. And then he says, he took his disciples with him along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Jesus took his disciples with him. He was going with them. He was showing them stuff. And we're on a walk, aren't we, with Jesus? And that's what he was doing with his Jesus. But interestingly, in this passage, Luke names some women. Talks about women. Do you know, Luke is full of women. Just wonderful. Most of the stories about women. Yeah. And he says, among them, was Mary Magdalene, from whom he cast out seven demons, Joanna, the wife of Chusa, Herod's business manager, Susanna, and many others who were contributing from their own resource to support Jesus and his disciples. That in itself is a good news story. Mary Magdalene, Luke says, Jesus cast out seven demons. What do we know about Mary Magdalene? Well, we suspect, scholars think, that Mary Magdalene came from Magdala, a fishing town on the western shores of the Sea of Galilee. So she was a local lass, yeah? And actually, interesting, I think the Catholic Church has kind of said she was maybe had a shady, was a prostitute potentially, but actually, there's no mention of her being that. Actually, the opposite is true. The scripture says that she supported Jesus in his ministry. She could have she was probably quite wealthy. Yeah, and she's also listed with Joanna, and she was probably a wealthy lady who had it together. So sometimes it sounds a bit odd. The portrayal is probably what we think is not quite right. Do you know what? She probably was wealthy. She probably, on the surface, had it all together. But she probably, and we know, she was struggling with things in life. And Jesus set her free. It's interesting, Luke has talked about people who on the outside have really messed up lives. So the leper, his life was messed up. The widow, yeah, all the people who were healed. But very often, people look okay on the outside, and we live a very put together life, don't we? But actually inside there can be stuff that is messing us up. Yeah? So it's a very, very different kind of person, I think, is Mary Magdalene. There's stuff in our life that messes us up. Yeah, but you know what the good news is? Jesus can set you free. I think, so some of the things that can mess us up, rejection. People are scared of rejection. Do you know what, actually, I really like people liking me. And I always wonder where that comes from, to the point that I would lie, I would talk to make myself look better than I am. Yeah, and actually, it came from actually being bullied as a child. So there was me and another friend, and then he made another friend, and I was rejected. And it's interesting how that stays with you for your entirety of your life, rejection. If you've ever been rejected, it's painful, very, very painful. Do you know what the good news is? Jesus will never reject you. Amen. He will never reject you. You should probably suffer from that. What about worry? Whose worry is here? Worry can mess up your life. I've met people that are so worried about so many things that it just, and they're fearful. Do you know what? Jesus has got you. He's got you. That's the good news. If you follow and believe Jesus, he's got you. Don't worry. God is sovereign. He's good. He's got you. Jesus can set you free. Anger. You might be so angry at somebody. Who's ever been angry with somebody? Who's been hurt? We've already talked about it. There is going to be justice. There is. And God will dry away your tears. Jesus can set you free if you give it to him and you forgive. That's good news, isn't it? Jealousy. What have you got to be jealous about? Yeah, it messes people up, but that's every good thing that is good God has given to you. That's good news. Insecurity. Do you know what? Whatever happens outside, God is always God. God is always good. That's good news, isn't it? Lying, gossiping. You want to make yourself look better. You don't need to make yourself look better. God has got it. God loves you so much. Stop it. All sorts. Addiction. Addiction is spiritual. There is a physical aspect to it, but there is a spiritual aspect. You don't need to do those things that you are doing. It's a lie of Satan. Stop it. Jesus can set you free if you come to him. Guilt. Jesus takes all your dirt if you come to him and you repent. Mary Magdalene, all right on the outside potentially, messed up on the inside. Jesus set her free from seven, or whatever these, it could have been different things, but he set her free. It was the God who set her free. And do you know what? The beauty of Mary Magdalene, she was the first person to see, witness the empty tomb, to proclaim. She was the first person to tell the disciples that Jesus is risen from the dead. He set her free to follow him and to declare God's goodness and the resurrection. Isn't that beautiful? There was Joanna, wife of Chusa, Herod's business manager. She would have been minted. But Luke says that she was healed and she was set free. Yes. Her name means Yahweh has been gracious. Isn't that beautiful? And when these guys were set free, so there was Susanna as well, there was others, what did they do with their freedom? What did they do with their freedom? Well, they followed Jesus. Yes, so you have been free to follow Jesus and serve Jesus. Yeah, you're not free to dance around in circles or do whatever you want. Real freedom is in following Jesus. And that's what they did. And they served Jesus and supported his ministry and they gave him glory. Why did they do that? Not out of Jesus would be mad if he didn't, out of a thankful heart, that Jesus had set them free. Is that good news?
Amen.
Is that good news? Christmas. I'm going to read this. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said, "Do not be afraid. God is casting out fear through his angel." This is what the angel said at Christmas. This is what Christmas is all about. Pete said it. But the angel said, "I bring you good news." This Christmas is about good news. The good news of Jesus, that he can set you free. He is the only good news. Because he said, "Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." There, this will be a sign that you will find a baby wrapped in a manger. And suddenly a great company of heaven hosts appeared with the angels praising God and saying, listen, "Glory to the God in the highest. And on earth, and peace to those whom his favour rests." Jesus came into the world to take your dirt, your sin, your messed up stuff. He died. God came down and was beaten, spat out, whatever. Debauched, all sorts of things, horrible things, to take your sin. And then he resurrected, and you are, so you could be set free to give him thanks. Isn't that good? That's good news. You know all this anyway. Say it week after week after week. You are people of good news. Guys, the kingdom of God has come. It is coming. Jesus is coming. That's good news. And you might be suffering from, you might have it all together on the outside. But you might be suffering from rejection, worry, fear, anger, jealousy, insecurity, lying, spirit of poverty, addiction, guilt, all this stuff. But you know what? Jesus, the good news is, Jesus, if you come to him, can set you free. Just like he did these women. Set you free in a real world where free to love him, free to serve him. And you know that is the true life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to live a proper life, true life, how you were designed to live, follow Jesus. In thankfulness, not out of duress, from a thankful heart to worship. Is that not good news?
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we just thank you. I've hardly touched chapter 8, Lord Jesus, but there was just the good news of Jesus, the gospel of Jesus is good news, Lord Jesus. We thank you. I'm kind of worshipping, Lord Jesus, because the thought of it blows my mind, Lord Jesus. You came into the world to die for our sins, to die for our salvation. You rose again. You're seated at the right hand of the Father, and you sent your Spirit for freedom, to serve you and live the glorious life and discipleship you set up for us. Lord Jesus, we thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for this good news. We thank you that we are a people, the only people of good news. You are good. You are all powerful. And we praise you and we worship you and we give you thanks. Amen.